Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Are you ready for the $103 monthly Metro card? How about the $250 single ride? The commuter rails and existing MTA tolls? You ready for them to go up by about a third? Draconian service cuts to boot? Well, the New York State Legislature might be ready for all that, as they only have 6 days left to vote on an alternative before the MTA has to vote on its budget for the coming fiscal year. They're calling it now the doomsday scenario, and doomsday, folks, is in 6 days. At the heart of the debate, the Ravitch Commission plan to fund the MTA. That's the plan that includes tolls on East River and Harlem River bridges and a payroll tax on all businesses in the MTA region. And the man himself is here as our first guest today, Richard Ravitch, the former MTA chair who helped write the system in the 1980s. Mr. Ravitch, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Oh, it's good to be with you.
Can you confirm the doomsday scenario? As I'm looking at it in the Daily News right now, the single ride fare would go to $250. A weekly Metro card would go from $25 to $31. The monthly Metro card from $81 to
$103. I'm sure that's accurate. I don't have those numbers in front of me at the moment. Yes, the board of the MTA will meet on the 25th, and the legislature, should the legislature not adopt a sensible long-range plan, they will vote those increases in and the service cuts.
Plus the express bus single ride up from $5 to $6.25. Express bus weekly pass from $41 to $51, and this affects drivers too. By the way, the easy pass for major crossings would go from $4.15 up more than a dollar to $5.26, and up by 40 cents on the minor crossings. So what's happening? It seems like Albany is in gridlock over your plan or any derivative of it.
Well, right now the Democrats in the state Senate have offered a plan that does not provide a long-term solution, that provides nothing for continuing the capital program of the MTA, without which, by the way, the physical condition of the system will start down the slippery slope again.
Let me stop you for just a second, because I think it's good for us to explain to our listeners the difference, because we're really talking about two different things here, between preventing the immediate draconian fare hikes and service cuts and the long-term capital plan, which was what the Ravitch Commission was originally charged with dealing with, correct?
That is correct. The difference is that, like any organization, even indeed like the average family, you have a budget that plan on every year to cover your day-to-day living expenses, and then you also have to make investments for the future in your home or in your business, if you have one, to ensure that it can continue to operate at an efficient way, that the heating system and the windows of your home work. That's called capital replacement.
So,
and throughout the 1970s and 60s, no attention was paid to that, and the subway system and the bus system in New York and the Long Island Railroad deteriorated to a frightening degree, to a point at which they were dysfunctional. And that's when we began to spend about $5 billion a year in capital replacement to maintain a state of good repair. And that has continued for 20-odd years without regard to party. And now there is not a consensus in the New York State Senate to continue that program, and that is a very serious matter.
So here is the leader of the Democrats in the state Senate, Malcolm Smith, speaking the other day. He proposed a small payroll tax for all businesses in the MTA region, 25 cents per $100 of payroll, in order to prevent the doomsday scenario, but nothing for the capital plan. Here's Malcolm Smith.
We took care of the operational problem. There'll be no service cuts with this. There'll be no layoffs. And this is reoccurring. and give us now, at least until the end of the session, if not by the time the capital plan is produced, to come up with a capital plan for them. We'll work with them to do that.
So State Senate Majority Leader Malcolm Smith speaking on Tuesday, not acceptable to Richard Ravitch, as we just heard, not acceptable to Governor Patterson either.
Pushing problems off into the future is going to only accomplish what putting problems off in the future did in the 70s, and that is to create all kinds of hardship.
So, Mr. Ravitch, you and the governor are obviously on the same page here. What do you need?
We need the plan that was put together by a group of labor leaders, business leaders, environmental leaders, transit experts, that has received the endorsement of the strap hangers of the business community, of labor in New York State, unanimous support. It has received the support of the New York State Assembly and the Speaker Silver, who recognized it wasn't easy for the Speaker to support a program that included tolls on the current free bridges, but he did so because he recognized the enormity of the problem and the fact that without a painful solution to the issue, things would go from bad to worse in the transit system, and the region's economy can't possibly tolerate that.
So
it is the Speaker, it's the New York State Assembly, it's the governor, it's the mayor, it's the business community, the labor unions, the strap hangers, the civic groups, the environmental groups. It is only the Democrats in the state Senate who said no so far.
So you are really here to say, don't just avoid the doomsday scenario, so-called, for the immediate fare hikes and service cuts. Please don't forget the long-term capital budget, which means East and Harlem River tolls.
Also, yes, and that is correct. And recognize it is expensive, but every time that the state government has enacted a tax or a toll, there has been, understandably, a lot of unhappy people because nobody likes to pay taxes or tolls. But people don't want a subway system and a commuter rail system that is going to deteriorate to the point of being dysfunctional. And that is the painful choice that the legislature must make.
People are calling in. People are writing in. We can take a few phone calls and web comments for Richard Ravitch. Are you ready for this? We've been debating this on this show for months, as, of course, the legislature has and people all over the MTA region have. Are you convinced East River tolls, for the sake of the long-term capital maintenance and improvement of transit in New York, 212-433-WNYC, are you convinced to the payroll tax for businesses in the MTA region? That means every place where the commuter rails go, upstate and out to Long Island, as well as in the five boroughs, in order to avoid the $2.50 subway fare and the $103 monthly MetroCard, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Stephen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Richard Ravitch. Hello.
Yes, hello. I want to talk about why the media is not covering the mismanagement of the MTA, particularly the investments by its CFO, Delaversen, Gary J. Delaversen. There was one story in the Times about the bonds that were invested through a German company called DEPFA, and I've only seen it once. Nobody talks about it again. Huge mistake, high interest rates. What kind of company has this kind of bad investments that were, at the time, where they said they were bad investments? We, the taxpayers, are now supposed to pay those higher interest rates. Why is this man not being fired? And then the second part is, what about the $500 million in cost overruns on the still unfinished MTA headquarters building in Lower Manhattan?
And Stephen, all legitimate questions. Are these relevant for you to whether you would support the Ravitch Commission proposals for the tolls for capital expansion or other measures to avoid the near-term doomsday scenario?
Well, my feeling is that if you're going to raise fares, you are going to be taking money away from the working class, the middle class, just as they need a break. So I don't think that the fare hikes And the plan that's being proposed by Ravitch is taking this into account.
Mr. Ravitch, what about that? And you know that we are hearing the same thing from members of the state Senate who are saying, look, with the history of the MTA's fiscal irresponsibility, we don't have a lot of confidence in allocating them more taxpayer funds.
Let me say a few things. One, I'm very sympathetic to the question Steve asked, and the public's entitled to be satisfied that this institution, because of its size and complexity and importance, is run ably and honestly. I don't know the two particulars he refers to, but I suspect, and one should always hear the other side of the story. These are not bad people who work at the MTA. They're not dishonest. They're able. They work hard. Would you say any organization never made a mistake? Possibly. I don't know the particulars that he was talking about, but let me say the important thing. The governor has indicated to the legislature that any language that enhanced the transparency of what the MTA does to the public would be welcomed by him in the proposed statute that would provide the financial assistance. There is currently the controller of the state of New York audits the books of the MTA. There is a there are two committees in the Senate and one committee in the Assembly that interrogates MTA officials, that has full access to their books. It is not as if there's no scrutiny of what the MTA does. And if there were any misdeeds, believe me, given the general political unpopularity of the MTA, there would be politicians who would be pursuing this in the criminal justice system as well if they thought there was even a semblance of an argument that there had been wrongdoing. So I think that there is an understandable feeling on the part of government to be on the part of the public to be impatient with large political organizations. The MTA, certainly in my day, and I believe today as well, it's run by a board. The chairman of the board's a distinguished businessman. He's a responsible person. The executive director is a transportation expert, and honest as the day is long and able. They've tried to recruit the most able people they could to this. So I don't think that in and of itself is a reason not to address the problem. The MTA is going to run out of money. They don't have any choice in the matter. They hate the idea of raising the fares and the tolls as much as the public does, because everywhere they go, they're going to be blamed and harangued and beaten up for it. But you have to keep your eye on the ball and then ensure in any way that the legislature thinks appropriate that the public is fully protected against incompetence and misdeeds.
Here's a comment from our webpage. Why does the MTA not simply advertise like crazy on the trains? The 7 and the 1 trains now have ads on the outside of the train. I would rather have the train covered in unsightly ads than deal with ridiculous fare and service cuts. The D.C. Metro also advertises in the tunnels with stop animation ads. How about getting creative, writes a listener named Hayes.
The truth of the matter is I haven't been at the MTA for 25 years. In my day, and I suspect it's true today as well, they would love to increase advertising revenues, and they're promoting it all the time. Whether they have a rule today about using the outside of the rolling stock for ads, I mean, every bus that I ride every day always has advertising on it. The subway cars, there was such a long period where the graffiti on the subway cars was such a public issue. It was such an intrusion into people's privacy and sense of well-being that maybe the public doesn't want the outside of the cars to be desecrated with a lot of advertising. But I have no current knowledge of it, Brian.
Another comment. Doug in Manhattan writes, an additional payroll tax, this is against the payroll tax, which is even the current state Senate solution to avoid the $250 single ride fare and the $100 MetroCard, $103 MetroCard. Doug writes, an additional payroll tax for the MTA is inappropriate, unfair to small businesses, and counterproductive to the health of New York City small businesses and the overall economy. A 50% fare increase is hardly draconian, he writes, and $250 is still much cheaper than other cities. What do you say to Doug?
I would say that that's a very legitimate point of view. That's why this commission came to the conclusion that we had to reject the importuning of every politician that we recommend that there be no fare increase. We recommended that there be an 8% fare increase, and we recommended, in effect, that the fare ought to be adjusted always to the cost of living index, because we recognize the fact that everybody who runs for office always wants to make sure there's no fare increase, but there has to be fare increases, and there will be fare increases.
And I think I misspoke.
And the question is, how do you balance that against the legitimate concerns of a lot of low-income and middle-income families who are totally dependent on public transit, have no alternative method of transportation, for whom the fare increase represents a significant percentage of their spendable income?
And I think I misspoke in reading that question and said a 50% fare increase. Of course, it's a 50-cent fare increase from $2 to $2.50. But do I understand you correctly that you're saying that this part doesn't upset you so much, the fare increase from $2 to $2.50, not that big a deal as far as you're concerned, maybe even a good idea?
You're asking the questioner or me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
I said that in my judgment, an 8% increase is appropriate at this point in time, not a 23% increase. That's why we made the recommendations that the deficit be made up of increased fares, increased payroll taxes, and tolls on the free bridges. And it is those three together which will resolve the deficit of the MTA.
Judy in Bell Harbor, Queens, here on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi, good morning. A few things. Number one, it always seems that the people who live in the outer boroughs continue to be punished because we can't afford to live in Manhattan. But even more important, where are they going to put the tolls? Anyone who's ever driven on into Manhattan over the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge?
Well, it wouldn't be toll booths, you know, it would be electronic readers.
Of
license plates or easy pass tags.
And how are they going to build them if they don't have credit cards?
Mr. Ravitch, what about that question?
Everybody will have to have the equivalent of what they have for Easy Pass, or else if they don't have it, then they will get a bill because their license plate will be photographed and they will pay their bills.
And the other thing is, I know taxi drivers will probably go back and forth between the boroughs. It's going to be a hefty increase for them, truck drivers, anyone who does business in all of the boroughs. And in addition, Marty Markowitz, the Brooklyn Borough president, he made lots of suggestions that don't include fares and tolls on the bridges. And nobody seems to be considering what about reinstating the commuter tax?
Well,
having a lottery. I mean, there are many other ways to do it. Why only this?
I'm glad you raised the commuter tax because the Republican state senator from Brooklyn, Marty Golden, on this program the other week brought up the idea of reinstating the commuter tax, which is on people who work in the five boroughs but live outside, as an alternative. But before we get Mr. Ravitch's response to that, Judy, I want to test out one thing on you, because part of the Ravitch Commission plan is to devote a lot of the East River toll revenues to the creation of better express buses, a new bus rapid transit system, so that fewer people would have to drive into the city from places like Bell Harbor. Would that be a good trade-off as far as you're concerned?
Perhaps. But they'd have to run 24 hours a day. Because if I want to go into the city and go to the opera, go to a show, meet some friends, there's no way for me to get home if I leave the city after 10, or after, and even the express bus doesn't even run that late here.
Rich Ravitch, do you want to reply to that? Because that is part of the heart of your plan, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The scheduling issue, those are legitimate concerns, Judy, and I can't comment on that except that the MTA would get a lot of public input to those decisions. But let me say a couple of things, if I may. This isn't prejudicial to only to people who live in the outer boroughs. I mean, I happen to live in Manhattan. I go to Brooklyn frequently because I have a grandchild there. I take the Brooklyn Bridge. I go to Queens frequently to go to the airport. I go to eat restaurants in the outer boroughs all the time. I mean, there's as much traffic from Manhattan to the outer boroughs as there is from the outer boroughs to Manhattan. And I might also point out to you that there are many taxis that use the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel facilities and pay the tolls. Some people are willing to go to and pay the price of having a longer trip to avoid a toll. But the fact of the matter is that in a society like ours, which is changing, if you believe the President of the United States, there's an effort to reduce the consumption of energy, to reduce the fuel emissions which pollute our air and make our kids breathe unhealthy air. There's a concern about using, achieving some of those objectives as well by making the cost of using a private automobile more expensive. New York is not unique in this regard. It's being done all over the country.
Judy, thank you for calling. We just have a minute left with Richard Ravitch from the Ravitch Commission to fund the MTA. Just give me one last pass on the politics of this, because I think as we're hearing from our callers, we're kind of hearing why the legislature is in gridlock. The interests of the elected representatives from Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island and the Bronx are not seen as being the same as those from Manhattan, are not seen as being the same from those from the other counties. And so they can't decide on commuter tax versus river bridge tolls versus just letting the fares rise. They're all stuck. Do you have anything new to offer that can break this gridlock?
Well, I think if people, again, think about it, I have no magic bullet, Brian. If people think about it, the commuter tax is something totally different. The commuter tax was a source of revenue for the city of New York because people who commute to New York and use the police, fire, and sanitation services ought to pay for it. But it's not the right revenue for the transit system because the revenues would be paid, the community tax would be paid by people who don't use the transit system primarily and not the beneficiaries of it. The community taxes would be a terrific revenue to have for the city of New York. There is no magic solution here. There are all kinds of ways of exacting revenues from the public. None of them are popular. Nobody wants tolls, taxes, or higher fares. And everybody who runs for office understandably and properly reflects that. But somehow, over the 45 years that I've been involved as a businessman and occasional public servant, there has been enough political leadership to recognize the fact that they have to make unpleasant and unpopular decisions. We didn't have an income tax before 1966 in the state of New York. We didn't have real estate transfer taxes, mortgage recording taxes. I could go through a whole list of revenue items and fares and tolls that have been passed.
Just one last thing. We're over time. But was it like this in the 80s when you were trying to get the subways out of disrepair then because there wasn't capital investment? Did you have to go through the same kind of pressure dance in the legislature to get the funding then to make things right?
Yes, but there was no question that both the Senate and the Assembly were going to enact the revenue items necessary to solve the problem.
This is harder.
This is harder now, yes.
All right.
Made in part because we live in tough times. The economy, the state of the economy makes people properly more concerned about paying more to government.
All right. Well, there is a default position, and it's called the doomsday budget for the MTA. Next Wednesday is doomsday with these draconian fare hikes and service cuts about to be enacted if the legislature does nothing, and at the moment they are stuck and doing nothing. Richard Ravitch from the Ravitch Commission to fund the MTA. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. Richard Finkel-Pearl from the Queens Museum. Have you ever been out to the panorama there? that has every building in New York? Well, they're selling homes and apartments from inside the panorama. Which building would you buy in New York City? 212-433-WNYC.